Each crisis is different, right? So we need to be comfortable in reading the intricacies of a crisis as it unfolds. We wanted to examine the establishment, best practices, lessons learned, and future direction of contingency plan testing programs among deposit insurers and resolution authorities in North America. Actually, we must admit that there is little public information on this topic. I'm Vishanti Pattiarachchi. I'm the Director Global Affairs at the Canada Deposit Insurance Corporation.
This is Bert van Hosebeke from the IADI Secretariat in Basel, and you're listening to the podcast of IADI, the International Association of Deposit Insurers. Well, thank you, Vishanti, for joining us today. So today we'll be speaking about contingency plan testing by deposit insurers. So you just finished a paper on that, Vishanti. Maybe we can start off with you explaining us a bit what contingency plan testing actually is and what you have been investigating.
Certainly. Yeah, so the topic of our research project is on contingency plan testing in North America. As we all know, contingency plan outline policies, procedures, and actions that the organizations might follow in the event of unexpected developments or significant shocks. Periodic testing helps verify the quality of these plans. Contingency plan testing has gained increased relevance following the global financial crisis in 2008. This is used as a means of enhancing the preparedness of regulatory authorities. It is also very important for all deposit insurers, regardless of their mandate, to be prepared to act upon the failure of an insured institution. Because, as we all know, our overall mandate is to preserve financial stability in our jurisdictions.
Okay. Could you maybe tell us a bit more about the details of the research project? So its scope and the partners that were involved in the project.
For this research project, we have four participating organizations: the AMF in Quebec, CDIC Canada, where I come from, FDIC in the US, and IPAB in Mexico. Before we move on, Bert, I would like to thank all contributors for their excellent cooperation on this project. In terms of the scope, as contingency plan exercises are so broad and overarching, we agreed to limit the scope of our research project to organizational-wide testing activities on resolution-related matters. For example, crisis management groups for globally systemically important financial institutions are not within scope.
Okay, well, Vishanti, I think this topic is very topical. So I think the COVID pandemic would definitely count as a contingency.
That's
but
right.
Also, as you just mentioned, in the past, the global financial crisis has been a showcase for the benefit of contingency plan testing. And in fact, yeah, one of IADI's core principles for effective deposit insurance systems, that's core principle number 6. Expects deposit insurances to have in place effective contingency plan and crisis management policies and actually to test these on a regular basis. And also in 2019, IADI has published a guidance on this. So much for the theory, right? So Vishanti, what do we know about contingency plan testing in practice, actually? And what can your paper say on this?
Yeah, that's a good question, but actually we must admit that there is little public information on this topic. Oftentimes, only press releases, statements of providing a very brief or overlook of each exercise are provided to the public. Specific details about the actual exercise and the implementation progress resulting from the reporting and feedback phase is really hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are some detailed reports that's coming from the European region. And that's exactly why we thought, as a regional committee, we need to dig deeper on this topic.
Mm-hmm.
We examined areas related to four phases. If I may give a brief introduction to each phase, that
mm-hmm.
will help
sure.
you understand why we did that. So the first phase we look at is organizational phase. This phase includes the overall planning related to the contingency plan testing activities, including the organizational setup, determination of testing priorities, frequency of testing activities, budgeting and resource priorities, and so forth. The other three phases we examined, they are design, running, and reporting and feedback phases. And these three phases are exercise specific. Mm-hmm. Design phase centers on making decision with regards to the objective or the objectives of the exercise, scope, type, length, and other basic components of a particular contingency plan testing activity. Running phase, as the name suggests, includes the elements related to the actual contingency plan testing activity, the actual doing of the act. And reporting and feedback phase is associated with the post-mortem stage of the exercise. The objective of this phase is to use the lessons learned to address gaps in the contingency plans and drive continuous improvements in the organization's preparedness.
Okay, thank you, Shanti. That's interesting. So four phases: organizational phase, design phase, the running phase, and finally the feedback phase. But still, you said that there is very little public information available. And that's why you actually performed a survey amongst those four deposit insurers that you mentioned. So what exactly were the main findings of that survey when we would focus now on phase one, right? That's on the organizational phase.
Our first observation was that we saw three different ways of how North American jurisdictions organize their testing programs. This is directly related to the organizational phase. The first one was that we saw that the responsibility of conducting testing may be distributed throughout the various business units within the same organization. Mm-hmm. The second type of organization was a centralized approach. This is like mm-hmm. having one business unit which is responsible for the overall testing program. CDIC Canada and IPAB Mexico, both of these organizations use a centralized approach. For example, if I may draw the example from CDIC, where I come from, after using the distributed model for many years, in 2019, we established the Center of Excellence for Crisis Simulations to expand our testing program to ensure regular and systematic testing of key risks. This initiative was undertaken in conjunction with our enhanced enterprise risk management framework. The testing function is located under the CDIC's Chief Risk Officer. Mm-hmm. In contrast, Bert, FDIC in the US and the AMF in Quebec, they employ a hybrid model, combining the best approaches of both of these aspects. All three organizational models have very strong benefits with relatively minor trade-offs. So I have to emphasize that no model has emerged as superior. Rather, the suitable structure is context-specific and depends on idiosyncratic factors at each organization.
So we're seeing a diverging set of organizational aspects and how these deposit insurers actually organize. But what if you look at the actual design and the running of the contingency plan test? What do we see there in practice? Is it also that diverging?
Yes, of course. We employ different kind of exercises. For example, we do tabletops, we do simulations, fire drills, walkthroughs, workshops. There are many ways of doing the exercise. But as a region, the most popular or common exercises are tabletops and simulations. As we all know, tabletops are decision-based discussions and simulations are operation-based exercises. But I have to say these exercises require substantial planning. Mm-hmm. Tabletops will often be 2 to 3 hours of discussion on average. And in a tabletop, typically we discuss how the organization should respond to a scenario and the various roles and responsibilities. The focus is to test the decision-making capabilities. And as a result, tabletop participants are usually from senior management. Mm-hmm. In contrast, simulations are operation-based exercises that can often last for a few days, depending on the scenario being tested. comparatively speaking, simulations take more resources than tabletops.
Okay, so, thank you. So there's a lot of different ways in actually conducting such a contingency plan test. What were the problems? So, right, I cannot imagine that everything goes smooth all the time. So what are the challenges that you could identify, and are there common ways maybe, or are there common challenges at all, and are there common ways to overcome these challenges maybe?
Yes, of course, but there are so many challenges. But if I may pick a few that came as common challenges, the first one is testing fatigue. As you can appreciate, testing is in addition to regular work priorities. So we all have human resource constraints as well in every organization.
Yep.
But at the same time, in order to realize the full benefits of an exercise, participant needs to be actively engaged. However, this is not realistic given our day-to-day priorities. To address this issue, RCNA organizations have developed multi-year testing schedules, as I mentioned before, because this helps us have a diverse set of topics and also to space out the activities. In terms of our second challenge, determining the trade-off between developing a formalized structure and retaining the flexibility and realism in an exercise is quite challenging.
Mm-hmm.
As we all know, but each crisis is different, right? So we need to be comfortable in reading the intricacies of a crisis as it unfolds, and testing is our safe sandbox to practice this skill. To that end, exercises involve balancing the two key aspects, complexity and realism.
Mm-hmm.
Participants know they are in an exercise. They know that they are not resolving a real-life case. So simulating the pressure and uncertainty of a crisis is no easy task. So how do we address this issue in North America? We observed two potential solutions. First, they provide structure to the exercise in the form of background material. Then they add a flavor of spontaneity into the exercise through the introduction of artifacts during the running phase. Because some elements of the exercise are spontaneous and not known in advance by participants,
mm-hmm.
this strategy helps us finding a balance between complexity and realism. The third challenge, again, it's not kind of like a challenge, it's kind of like the main observation, I would put it that way. Creating a sense of urgency in decision making among participants during an exercise can be challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Another interesting dynamic here is that using an experienced moderator, for example, an active moderator mm-hmm. in a tabletop mm-hmm. exercise, can identify and draw out tension areas and encourage participants to make quicker decisions using incomplete information. Put differently, this moderator role is kind of like a choreographer. The success of the testing act or performance depends on how he or she leads the actors through a well-thought-out sequencing of steps.
Okay. Well, Roshanti, that sounds very interesting. Of course, the paper was focused, as you said, on North America. When you look ahead now, now the paper is finished, is there any thoughts that you have on how to continue, how to work further?
Yeah, again, a very good question, but like, in terms of what's for us as a region, to answer that question, I really see that some regions like Latin America and Europe, they are conducting cross-border exercises. In our case, we haven't done anything out of CMGs so far. So I really feel like North American region could aim for a regional cross-border exercise in the future. And also, as I mentioned before, we did not examine FSB jurisdictions' involvement in crisis mm-hmm. management groups or CMGs that they conduct for globally systemically important financial institutions. But however, given the internationalized financial markets, the experience of CMGs and globally systemically important financial institutions, that might be of interest to non-FSB jurisdictions as well. So I would really like to see what kind of collaborations we could do in the future on this topic with FSB.
Okay, thank you, Rishanti. Well, in general, what would you say are the key takeaways from the paper for other deposit insurers, maybe also in other parts of the world?
First and foremost, we need to understand that there is no one-size-fits-all model. Rather, deposit insurers need to design testing programs that are reflective of their needs, resource levels, and other factors.
Mm-hmm.
What works for one jurisdiction may not work for the other. Second takeaway I'd like to share is the need to have a disciplined and systematic approach. It could be one exercise that an organization could undertake per year or perhaps every other year. What is more important is not the number, but having an attainable target and committing to achieving it. The last point I would like to share is preserving flexibility in our testing programs. The overarching objective is not a win per se. Rather, it is to identify areas of improvement so that we can enhance our existing systems, processes, and our knowledge. Just do it the way you can and learn from your mistakes in an inexpensive and safe environment. That's the last thing I want to share.
So, okay, Rishanti, on that note, I think we'll come to an end now. Again, let me draw our listeners' attention to your research paper on contingency plan testing. That's a paper by the North America Regional Committee, or FIARI. The paper is available on our website for everybody to read. So that's on www.eard.org. And there you will find it in the research paper section. So please do have a look. Thank you all for listening to this very first EARD podcast. Stay tuned for the next one. And many thanks to you, Rishanti, for your time today.
It's my pleasure.